Welcome to Revere Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
And Don Vandenborg.
Telling it like it is.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny, Tim, and Don will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
Because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, and it matters even less what Danny thinks.
And now, here's your hosts, Danny, Tim, and Don.
And everyone, welcome to another edition. Gosh, Danny, we were just joking around that you were goofing up on words in there. My opening was a complete stumble right out of the blocks. Welcome to another edition of Your Money Radio. Danny Stewart, Don Vandenborg, Hunter Mansingo, and Hunter Razor with you for another excursion of fun financial delight and gifts and games. I want to talk about gifts and games. Danny.
Yes.
I think I want to do gifts first. So here, I'd like
gifts,
to do
like Christmas gifts or gift GIFS.
Great question. GIFT.
Gift.
Gift. Yep. I want to do gifts first, and I think now you can have any gift. Like you, anyone in our listening audience, what they might want to ask for, might maybe want to give as a gift. It doesn't have to be limited to any category, any genre. But since we are kind of a stock market show, I thought maybe we would do books. But you can suggest, like, maybe, Danny, you got a new blender this year. And you're like, the BlendTech 2000 is the blender for me, you know? So if you've got an idea, I'll go first. Well, no, I'll let Don go first because I think Don's got the obvious thoughts on this, and I'll let him go first.
I honestly don't. I mean, your gifts. I'm totally off guard with this. You asked
well,
me what
gifts
I want
for the trader. If you were going to give a book for traders, like if someone
oh, well, that
was
goes
like,
without saying, it would be the orange How to Make Money in Stocks by William O'Neill.
Yeah, that's where I thought you would go. Hunter, you have any? Is there a book, Hunter, that you've read that really stuck out with you that was seminal and spending your love for stocks, or is there any gift in general? Like Don lamented that you probably need a new razor. Are you researching anything there? Or?
Well, I've done some looking on Amazon for a replacement razor. Don, I know you just held that up. That's one I want to read that I haven't yet. One that I recently
read. This is
read.
Another one. I would okay. Give this one too.
Okay.
It's not necessary.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's a book about Jim Simons, which is the guy who founded Renaissance Technologies.
I just downloaded it on Audible.
Yeah, it's more of like an auto or a biography, I guess. But yeah, it's a really cool story. A lot of like data analysis, but it goes through like the whole dynamic and development of their firm and their strategies and what they, you know, from trading currency to getting into equity and. I don't know. It's a really good book. I felt like just well written, good story.
Sure.
Anybody can enjoy it.
Now, keep in mind, 99% of the books that come out on finance or the markets are hot garbage. And I say that with pretty good assurity. In the newsroom at IBD, there was a table where publishers would send their books for review to IBD every day, and they would just make their way to the table. I picked up every one of them. Because I was traveling so much and I read a lot of them. I couldn't get through a number of them. Just they were just so nonsensical. And like rule one comes to mind. Don't send me hate mail if you like Phil Town, but I don't. Not personally, just the book or the book his daughter wrote. But I think I like mindset books, but I'll go last. Danny, did you got a book that you've read that you're like, you know what, man, this book really lit my world
Harry
on
Potter.
Fire. There you go.
Nicolette loves Harry Potter.
No, I would say Reminiscence of a Stock Operator by Lefebvre
This is the best part of the show.
Can we? I like it. Hey, it's L-E-F-R-E, Lefer.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's God. How do you spell that, Danny? I want to know how Danny.
I just
Danny
spell it for you. You gotta pay attention to him.
Don, you want to correct him on it? You want to show him a You want to show people a copy of it before they go misspelling that into Amazon?
It's Reminiscences of a Stock Operator and
that's the one.
Edwin,
I have that one.
Edwin Lefevre is actually how it's pronounced.
Is that the one with the charts annotated by William O'Neill?
Yeah.
I like Lefevre better.
We know you do, Dan. No, annotated by John Markman, not William O'Neill.
I've got one. I should pull it out next time. I got one annotated by Bill. Okay, so
and for people just listening on the audio, the other book was Think and Trade. You couldn't see the video and it's just audio, was Think and Trade Like a Champion by Mark Minervini. And there's a chapter in here that's one of the best chapters I've ever read in any trading book. It's 8 Keys to Unlocking Super Performance. It's just an excellent summary of the entire approach and great chapter.
I'm a mindset. I like mindset books. I read the books. Other than Minervini's book, I'm pretty much in agreement there with Don. I haven't read his book. There's a book called The Surrender Experiment that unlocked a whole bunch of things for me mentally. And if you are wanting, I think trading is 90% psychological and putting yourself in the right mindset and open to the idea of different characteristics of stocks being able to go higher and names that you're not familiar with. Like a lot of the names that Don and Hunter talked to. That's why Hunter explains what he's doing at the end of the show. Like, hey, you probably never heard of this company. This is what they do. And there's a whole universe of stocks out there that you don't know about. But if you can open your mind up to them and the characteristics that can make them go higher, it unlocks a ton. That book is called The Surrender Experiment. I'm actually due for a read. I'm going to listen to it this time. I've read it twice. And I'm going to listen to it again, probably this weekend. Okay, so those are books. Those are Christmas gifts. You know, I thought that segment would be a little more livelier. It didn't feel lively in my brain. What did you think, Danny? Rate that segment.
I thought it was. I didn't think it was too bad.
Who's your favorite author, Danny?
I made too many dollars to stock. Darvis has a good book.
No, that Darvis book is one of my favorites because of the way Darvis ended up trading towards the end of his life when he became successful, having to move to France to get away, trade 12 on, 12 off, just the whole nine yards. Really like that Darvis book. Good call, Danny. I like that you ended it there with Darvis. So let's play a game. So we have books and reindeer games. So I will go first with this game because I need to give Danny, Don, and Hunter a chance to assimilate the thoughts. So oftentimes there is a stock that gets all the attention in the world. And let me pull up a chart. Let me pull up a bigger time frame chart. And the easiest one, well, it's not the easiest one. It's just one that pops into my head, ALGN. So this is Align Technologies. And so now, ALGN, I was like, why is Thinkorswim so slow? It's because I typed in the wrong thing, ALGN. There we go, Align. So Align does the trays for your teeth, like braces, except they're not braces, they're trays. And they do just this, align your teeth. And you can see 2020 has been good to Align. And so what happens oftentimes is someone will say $500 a share. That's way too expensive. I'm not paying no $500 a share. And what you're looking for is the cheaper alternative. And I'll point out that oftentimes the cheaper alternative is the Ford Pinto of stocks with the exploding gas tanks, not the Ferrari of stocks, which here is Align. And the example here is Smile Direct Club. So when the chart does finally come, I mean, this is the chart. I'm not doing anything to adjust Smile Direct Club's chart here. This is old SDC. And so you can see SDC down here is an $11 stock.
Like cliff diving.
It looks like a stock. Yeah. Like from Wide World of Sports in the 70s, man, right? Howard Cosell calling some cliff diving. And so maybe Jim McKay for you older, the older crowd out there. Don, can you call some cliff diving? Do you got a Howard Cosell calling cliff diving?
Up next, we have the beleaguered Romy Remyo. He's going to do a double twist jackknife and land right smack in the middle between two huge rocks, taking an immense risk with this one. Let's see if the risk pays off.
Little known talent right there. What country is Romy Remyo from?
He's from the the Cliff Divers.
Cliff diving Austin, capital of the world.
Yeah, Austin, Texas, the cliff Austin, diving Texas. Capital.
That's interesting. Tell me something. Who are Romy Remyo's two top competitors? Because I hear it's going to be a hot battle this week.
Cliff Johnson.
Oh, Cliff, big Cliff Johnson.
Yeah. And Jimmy Cliff are his Jimmy two Cliff. Competitors.
Interesting that their parents knew they were going to be jumping off of large rock formations.
Their parents didn't know at the time. They took the name and ran with it. Cliff.
Oh, so Cliff's not a nickname. Clearly. Cliff is a God-given name.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay, good stuff. Where is there a place in this world that has a cliff diving league?
I think Austin, Texas does. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Have I exhausted your knowledge of cliff diving?
It didn't take long, did it?
Yeah. Mexico.
I was going to go Brazil. Don't they have Touchdown Jesus down in Brazil?
Yes, on the big mountain, yeah.
Yeah, you cliff dive into that, right? Is there some body of water below that?
Oh, no, there's mountains and rocks. But...
oh, it's a, okay.
Unless you can jump really far out.
Yeah, do not cliff dive off of – that's not – Touchdown Jesus is at Notre Dame. What is the statue's name, Danny, in Brazil?
I don't know. I just but know you, the but statue.
Who wrote Reminiscences of a Stock Operator?
That was turn of the century.
You just said it, man. Come on. There's a quiz every time during this show.
Favre.
Brett Favre, yes, Brett Favre wrote Reminiscences of a Stock Operator. Okay, so sister stocks, so SDC clearly, but what a lot of people will do in their mind is they'll say, well, they do similar things to old ALGN, and so you'll buy what you think is the cheaper stock, and it really doesn't yield you any type of gains, and so, matter of fact, you'll probably lose money, and so another example comes to mind while I'm letting Don, Danny, and Hunter try to conjure up some sister stock pairings. One works, one doesn't work. Let's do Tesla. So a lot of people will scream to you the value that is General Motors. They'll tell you that General Motors, by the way, still not back at an all-time high. General Motors. There's the stock of General Motors, and we could do Ford, but we won't. And then like Tesla, TSLA, and you'll buy General Motors because you're inferring your opinion onto the market that General Motors is a value. And by the way, someone will say, well, Tim, I use price to earnings ratios and I use all these other things and inferring what the right price to earnings ratio is, what the right sales multiple is for a particular stock is inferring your own opinion onto the stock. So you might be thinking, well, Tim, I'm using a factual number, but what I'm telling you is you're taking a fact-based number and you're then inferring it onto the market. And that's just not how it works. And so buying the cheaper of a stock or the sister of a stock, it doesn't have to be cheaper, it just has to be lesser quality, is oftentimes not the recipe for success. Don or Hunter, who wants to go first? Do you have one? I should ask if you have one. I've got a couple more here if you need some more time.
I like Toyota also in the car industry. They are up big on volume today on an announcement that they're going to be TM.
Oh, TM. Wow, interesting. There's a whole bunch of Toyotas.
They're up on volume with an announcement that they're going to be creating their own solid-state batteries.
Nice.
And solid-state batteries are a technological breakthrough. I think Hunter's going to talk about this later in his segments, but that's a little tease for it.
Okay.
That's why you shouldn't tell them anything, Hunter, because then they steal your thunder before you come up.
I know.
We don't talk before the show, Hunter. That's exactly why we don't talk before the show. Like, mum's the word, man.
Or maybe you could say Hunter Don was the one that told Hunter about TM gapping.
No. You're supposed to leave that out, Don.
Okay.
You got a stock pair in there, Don. The one's a winner, one's a loser. Same group. One's cheaper, one's bigger.
You know, we're gonna have to start talking about what we're talking about on the show beforehand because I'm drawing a blank here.
I'll tell you what,
I've got something. Me and Don actually talked about it today. It's kind of an example of one changing sentiment, I guess. I don't know if it's the best example for this, but the flip between Corsair and Logitech. Logitech was outperforming initially, and then it was Corsair that dominated for a while, and now Corsair is down 6%. And Logitech looks a lot better. So just an example of kind of a flip. Another one. Some of the Chinese names, like whether it's solar or alternative energy or electric vehicles, whatever, they've kind of been struggling recently. And so if you wanted, I don't know if it's the best example again, but Enphase, which I'm actually going to talk about today, ENPH, look at them. And how they're acting today and kind of recently in general compared to kind of how JKS, Jinko Solar, has acted the last couple of weeks. That one is broken right now. JKS is broken, but Enphase is looking pretty good. They bounced off the 21. They're at the low of their range, but the market's pulled back a little bit. But anyway, it's just two examples, I guess, of where one was a leader and now it's not.
I've got a couple more ideas in the top of, off the top of my head here, but think about, we can do home renovation, but if you look at, let's just do the pot space altogether, IIPR. So that it's the REIT, I mean, that does pot, but it's $160. So it makes sense to me to include it in this game that I'm playing. Look at this beautiful chart, right? And then if you do TLRY, it's all right. Look at that chart. And so in the pot space, but how many folks would pass up an IIPR and they would take a Tilray? Because Tilray is $7.77. And IIPR is $160 stock. And people are making it. So a lot of stockers and people familiar with our work are like, well, I would never do that. I don't know why you're playing this game, Tim. Well, because there's a ton of new people to our work. There's a ton of new people that tune in every week to the videos and to the podcast. And they do make these decisions because here in America, and the podcast goes worldwide, we're a culture of it's on sale. We want everything at a discount. Danny, do you pay full price for anything?
I try not to.
There you go. And so nobody wants to pay full price. And in the pot space, IIPR is, hold on, if I could type the ticker symbol in here, IIPR, there we go. Even though it's down 1.76% today, look at the chart. Boy, Thinkorswim is so incredibly slow today. Look at the chart compared to give me a pot stock, Don. Just off the top of your head, doesn't have to be Tilray. Give me another one.
GTBIF.
Oh my God. Okay, GTBIF.
That might be a good comparison, actually.
Yeah. There you go. Right now, this is $21, but $21, beautiful chart, is still more expensive than what? $7 or $8. And so people are making these buy decisions all the time. Or they go with, I hear this.
You can look up, here's another weed one to look up. Afria. Trying to get there.
You gonna give me the ticker or am I just
ticker
gonna?
Ticker symbol. I'm drawing a blank on what it's APHA, I think. Yeah. Which it actually, it's had a nice move.
Yeah.
So, but if you look at it long term, it doesn't look good.
No, look at where it came from. $20 last 2 years ago, still trading below $8. It's not a bad looking chart right now, but look at the long term. And so you'll go with the cheaper idea oftentimes. And a lot of people, it doesn't have to be cheap or what you might consider cheap. Like, look at Home Depot here. This is a $265 stock. Now, it's had a great move off the bottom, right? You can't come, if you bought 138.1, and some of you probably did, that's not right now a healthy looking chart. And then you'll throw it in with Lowe's. Not a healthy looking chart. And then in the same space, you've got like this. You've got FMD, which is down 1% today, but I hope my charts aren't locked up.
We can still see.
You can? Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the shading here is, I don't know if the shading goes away, but there's a whole bunch of stocks. Oh, my charts are locked up. You're glad you guys can see them. We might be stuck there. No, we're not. So there's a whole bunch of stocks like this. And I think this is, especially this, as we head into 2021, if you're writing out a trading plan and you find yourself often looking for the cheaper alternative to a stock grouping, may I offer that you the idea that price is earned, and that there's a reason why this is a higher price stock than Smile Direct Club, and oftentimes not just the most expensive stock, but the more fundamentally sound stock is the one you want to go with. And so, any thoughts on that, fellas?
I think that's pretty well said. It's a classic one-liner. Price to earnings are earned.
There you go. Absolutely. Don, any thoughts? Anything to add to that?
O'Neill has a great analogy in his How to Make Money in Stocks book about the red dresses and the yellow dresses. The ones wouldn't sell. They were stuck on the clearance rack while everybody wanted the one type of dress. And it's a good analogy relative to things that are cheap in the market are cheap for a reason. It's because nobody wants them.
Absolutely. And so.
Yeah, you get stuck. If they can't move them, what do they do? If they can't move that inventory, they're going to drop the price, then they're going to drop it again. And then all of a sudden, Bob's your uncle and it's a
clearance rack, baby.
Discount, clearance rack. Yeah.
Clearance rack. Okay. So those were the two big top of the mind segments. So let's do this. Let's get into what Don did this week. Let's get to Hunter's research. I've got a watch list. I'll update, and then we'll take it home. Danny, any pressing issues? I should have asked you before we actually started. But
no,
I didn't,
not
I, normally
at
you'll tell
not,
me.
Not at all. I'm actually kind of excited. Okay. This evening, I'm going to the National Finals Rodeo.
Oh.
Yeah.
That moves pretty cool.
Las Vegas to Fort Worth, so you know.
How are they doing the ticketing? By the way, is it like at 50%?
By the way, Tim, that's the one thing I did pay full price for.
Rodeo tickets.
Could not get to, because they're so, you know, they're spreading it out, so you got about half the seats, but
they canceled the Fort Worth Stock Show for 2021. They did that back in October. That's Yeah. I wonder if they're rethinking that now that they're having the National Finals Rodeo out in Arlington. Anyway, yeah. We digress. Don, go ahead, man. Give me what you're looking at. Give me your moves, and give me what you see setting up next week into monthly options expiration.
So let's talk about this week. It's been an interesting week for growth stocks. We came into the week bullish. In fact, my exposure was the highest it's ever been. I calculated an adjusted beta. It was at 1.5. So the equivalent of 1.5 times the risk of the S&P 500, and took a look at things and they were just ridiculously extended. And I just started trimming a bunch of things on Monday that were so high. They were just well above their 21-day exponential moving average and ripe for a pullback. These included taking a little bit off on Net.
My charts are not going to go as fast as you, Don, just because Thinkorswim is so slow today. There's the daily chart in there. We're looking at daily charts.
Yeah, which is just a little bit extended. It's going sideways now. Snow, a closed Snow, it was like 40% above the 21-day moving average. It's pulled back over the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. Palantir, PLTR, another one that was ridiculously extended. Unity Software closed that out. And SI. I mean, when you get ridiculously extended to the upside, you're just waiting for the pullback. No trades on Tuesday, and then Wednesday we had a very harsh break on leading stocks. The Nasdaq underperformed, and leading stocks really took it on the chin. And I lightened up on a couple of things there, but primarily what I did was add SQQQ across the board to hedge. The Nasdaq 100 has been relatively weak compared to leading stocks and compared to some things where money bring up the Qs.
Yeah,
bring up the underlying.
I had the Qs up. I just wanted to show people that chart.
Yeah.
Big cap tech is really bad here. Not, I shouldn't say bad. It's meandering. And do you remember in 20? Don, was it 2018 or 2017? 2018 was the big sell-off, but there was a December where Amazon couldn't get out of its own way. And then we had this sell-off in January. Do you remember that? Do you remember what year that was? I was thinking about that this morning. I think it's 2016.
I don't. I just always know that time flies faster than I think it does.
Yeah, this is not healthy action here in Amazon. It doesn't mean on a weekly chart it's bad. It's not great. Apple's okay, but
on a relative strength, from a relative strength 3 month standpoint, it's terrible. They've gone sideways basically for the last 6 months almost.
Yeah, you need big cap tech here to pick it up in the gear to find the next level in the market, or the absence of buyers excited to take positions there is going to lead to lower prices. Let's get NASDAQ back up here. All the NASDAQ 100, but it's finding support to 21 where it's supposed to, but still.
Where it better continue to, which is also coincides with those two peaks right in the middle of your screen there. Yep. So that's a matter of resistance needs to turn to support right around that same level there.
And coming back from the election, you can see the test of the 21, test of the 21, test of the 21, test of the 21. Now you've got two tests of the 21. And with options expiration next week, to market, anything can happen. But I think you're consolidating under the highs. And I'm not sure if that's a great place to be or not, to be honest with you. Big cap tech needs to find its footing here.
And two things that stopped working. So we got out of GBTC, our first foray into Bitcoin in-house here, but it broke the 21. So there's a lot of stories out there now about how the mainstream is getting into Bitcoin. In fact, Mass Mutual, an insurance company, invested $100 million in Bitcoin, and that's out of the fund that they're going to pay their claims out of. So that's a pretty big statement. There's also been ticker MSTR has put their cash balance into Bitcoin. And then we know Apple or Square and PayPal obviously accepting and being able to trade Bitcoin. But it broke to 21. It doesn't matter how good the story is. Plus, yesterday's pop on that news was sold today. GBTC down 5% today. So it doesn't matter what you think the story is, we're going to follow price. And I really want that price to be above the 21E if it's something that I'm in. So we took about a case where a 20% gain reduced to about an 8% gain, but we'll take it. It outperformed the market during the holding period. And then CRSR, Hunter mentioned this, but it's another case where the 21 has flipped from what was support. It broke below it yesterday, tried to rally back up through it, and was met with resistance. And so we closed that out yesterday after a lot of internal discussion. And that's come down to the 50-day now. That blue line's your 50-day, right?
Yep. No, the blue line's a 34. So great questionnaire. I'll just do it for all the new viewers. So purple line is a 5. Green line's an 8. The pink line's a 21. The let me just make sure I'm on the right chart set, Don, before I
and just a quick note on Corsair. Corsair really gave us a tough head fake on like the 4th. They closed below the 21, got back above it nicely on the 3rd, closed above it again on the 4th, and then had a nice a nice up day, like I think about 5% on the 7th. And it looked like they were going to act right. And then since that day, they've just acted bad. Volume hadn't been great. They've just been trickling down, trickling down. And like Don said, now the 21 has turned into resistance on it. So, you know, that just as a note, I know you got the 50 marked. 50 is probably going to end up being around 30. And so, you know, maybe that's a viable entry. I don't know. But it's just not acting strong right now relative to other leaders in the market, other recent IPOs.
What else you got, Don? Or is that it?
No, we closed out Corsair. One thing we did get back into today was this week on Wednesday, GRWG. We were expecting Corsair to do what GRWG did, which is, you know, you're having a lot of these wild swings, take your profits when you're above, but when you come down and bounce off the 21, you should bounce off there and head back higher. And so far, GRWG is doing that.
And they priced the secondary at 30. Is that right, Don?
Yeah, they did.
So it's a positive in itself that they're almost 10% above.
Right. Good
that
point.
Secondary price. So, I mean, you know, yeah, and they were actually up nicely today before the market kind of pulled back too. They were up 3 or 4%.
PayPal's a good example of what Don's talking about here, off the 21 and holding that 21, even though the 5 is coming through the 8 here on PayPal. GRWG. I'm going to go back to that so people can see that price action. There you go. All right. What else you got, Don?
That's it.
Okay, Don is going to do the 21 over 21 list. How's that list looking, Don, for tonight's video?
Only one stock coming off of it as of right now from last week, and that's Corsair. So just the fact that 20 of the 21 stocks from last week are still holding gives you a little insight into leadership. It also means how far they extended they were. So they weren't stopped out on the pullback on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It was just Wednesday was a lot of things were extended. And then to follow up on the action for the week, leaders extremely strong yesterday in a lot of cases, recovering everything that they lost on Wednesday. But now some weakness today on Friday. It's 12:42 Eastern time. The NASDAQ 100 is down 1.2%. The S&P is down 0.9%. So we're giving up a little bit today.
All righty. I'll tell you what, this is a good place to show you where you can get Don's 21 over 21 list. You're watching the podcast right now, so go to revereasset.com. Then all you do is go to Daily Market Insight right here. And then you can see all the videos we've ever published across all market since 2014. You can go back. There's 174 pages now. Videos and articles, and you can see how we handled every market. See, people ask Danny all the time, what would you have done here? Or I want to back test you. Well, just go to any of these videos. That's the back test. These are the brochures that people keep asking for. And then if you have any questions, concerns, you get comments, you want to email any one of us, right here's all the email addresses you could ever want to try to get a hold of us. Call if you want to call, ask questions, more than welcome to do that. No salespeople. If there's a 99.9% chance repeating, you're going to get America's fiduciary right here, 855-732-5932. He answers the phones on Saturdays and Sundays. So if you find yourself at home and you're like, you know what, I had a question on what you guys said, you're not going to get into any sales loop. You're going to talk to the owner of the firm, and I'm telling you what, you're going to get your answer. And if you want to consider becoming a client of the firm, you can absolutely ask him how wonderful that is for Danny, for less than a cup of coffee a day, right? I say that tongue in cheek. I don't want anyone to go pray. I guess depending upon where you get your coffee. Did I lose you, Danny?
Camper coffee.
There you go. Well, you just went up to Crested Butte. That's right. You can get a hold of us at you. This is my preferred method. You could email me. My inbox gets long-winded questions. So if you email me, follow me on Twitter, you can then message me directly. And the fellas have all their Twitter too. So here is Danny's Twitter. I always mess up where the handle is on these pages. At One Danny Stewart is Danny's handle. Don Vandenborde is at D Vandenborde. Same thing, just follow D Vandenborde on Twitter. There you go. Follow D Vandenborde on Twitter. And then you can direct, he'll follow you back, and then you can direct message right with him. Okay, so let's see. I got a watch list going, Hunter. I'm going to do a watch list real quick. Danny, I had, speaking of Twitter, I can't remember the fellow that did it. So I honestly forget his name. It was on Twitter. He actually found a clip of when I was on the doing the 5 at 5 with you and Kofall. Back at the 1090 studios. And and I was like, oh, well, maybe I should resurrect that list. So I started this week with the thought, I had two videos this week with you. This is the third one, but I had two videos with you this week. And I thought, you know what, let me resurrect that list. And if you go here, you'll see what the list, I don't know if Danny ever knew this. I was basing it off of this, a lot of the stocks that I used to pick for Danny's show had a number in there, and it's earnings per share percent change last quarter. And the commonality, if you're a longtime listener of the show, like you know me from back in those days, those were the stocks I was picking, and they all had that commonality. And so we'll take a look at the list. If you haven't watched the videos, I encourage you to go back, understand the methodology, the number I'm looking at. But I had a couple of people write in and say, well, what about this stock? What about this stock? So I will do the list for you real quick. It's I don't know about calling it 5 at 5, but it's 5 stocks deep with a bonus stock, which makes it 6. So the list for this week, and the way the list works is I got to pull one off if it becomes extended or if it just breaks down completely. So FLGT was extended when I did it with you on Tuesday. But I love the earnings per share percent change in this. And these have other metrics. They meet all my other screening criteria. But even though this is down 5% today, this is a beautiful looking chart here. It maybe it corrects more. And if you're like, well, Tim, where's that on an ATR chart? What does that look like? You'll get these ATRs coming up to try to meet price. This is a consolidation at the highs. I'm something I'm going to watch as next week progresses. Hunter mentioned solar. DQ is on the list. By the way, FLGT, I should write these down. FLGT plus 1,386% EPS percent change last quarter. And that's just all in the videos I did this week. And so here's DQ, up a percent in a tough market. Solar's doing well today, though, right, Hunter? Is that overall?
Yeah, the market, they've pulled back as the market's pulled back. I think TAN is still up about a percent, 1% or so. Sure. But what's interesting is DQ is up today, and the other big China solar name is down 10%, JKS. So.
Yep. And Don's got a, you know, I wanted to buy a – I keep wanting to call it Hunter FUBU.
Futu.
John, yeah, Futu. And Don's like, you know what? We need to stay all away from China with the nonsense that's going. You know, that's a good idea, Don. What is the nonsense going on with China stocks?
The big thing is that the House and Senate, I don't know if Trump has signed it or not yet, have passed a law mandating that for Chinese stocks to be listed on the American exchange, they need to uphold American accounting standards.
That's for a number of companies. That's going to be a tough road to hoe. Here's Calyx, and you'll figure out which stocks those are because of price. That's my thought.
And actually, I think China has a law mandating that their company's accounting cannot be dictated to by the laws of other countries. So,
oh geez,
it's,
okay,
it's nice counter. Another one of these.
Yep. Here's Calyx pulling back to the mean today, down along with the market. Calyx is, so let's get that up here for the stock nerds. C-A-L-X. That doesn't even look like Calyx. It's C-A-L-X, and that is 567%. That's where that number. Danny, I don't know if I ever shared that with you, that's where the, like when deciding, because there's a, I mean, how many stocks are tradable out there? When picking those 5 stocks, the number I was using to make a determinant was this number. One that a lot of people are familiar with, Z. So you're looking at, look at how strong this thing is today. up 2.5%, a really tough tape. So this is Zillow, and that Zillow number is 408% earnings per share percent change last quarter, which is just a complete mouthful. Oh my gosh, I took off the list by mistake. Hopefully you paused the video there. There's Zillow and then OKTA, Okta. Boy, Okta acting well today. And Okta, you can see this chart here. Yeah, there's the mean, just testing the mean. I don't, you know, the market's going to determine whether or not these stocks hold up. 80% of the stocks follow the general market's trend, but Okta is plus 233%. And so someone might say, well, what is that? How important is that number to me? Well, okay, so Amazon has a, look at this. So we were talking about Amazon earlier and Don mentioned RS and it's lagging. It's going nowhere for 6 months. All 1,000% correct. So here's Amazon. And Amazon has a plus, listen to this, a plus 192% earnings per share percent change. But it's always a but. Is there a better choice in this quote unquote space? Etsy. And so look at what Etsy's doing here, chart-wise and performance-wise. Don, what's this? Can you tell me the spread? I know I'm asking you on the spot. Last 6 months between Amazon and Etsy, please. Can you? Is that something you could pull up?
I can pull it up pretty quick.
I need about 30 seconds. But yeah.
Etsy's earnings per share percent change is, I got to look at my notes, plus 483%. And so, yes, this Amazon number is high, clearly, but this Etsy number is what they would refer to as better. What about social media? What about Snap, Pinterest, and Facebook? I'm sorry, Don, do you have the number before I go on?
Yeah, over the last 6 months, Amazon is up 11.6%. Etsy is up 57%.
And there you have it. And that number, that earnings per share percent change number has served me so well. It doesn't mean a stock won't pull back. It doesn't mean it's going to go up. But I've used that when I figured that out back in the early days of my time at IBD, I realized that I was onto something. And Bill was onto it long before I ever was. So don't think I'm doing anything original here. Pins. So here's Pins. Well, look at this chart.
You know, it ties in with that earnings growth. You know, a couple of his metrics are earnings growth, you know, double-digit revenue growth, double-digit earning growth over the last 4 or 6 quarters. You're taking the most recent time frame and looking where the acceleration in earnings is.
Yep.
So it's just kind of refining it.
And for me, and I might have the wrong interpretation, but I've always interpreted as when they, you know, the people who matter the most in the market, like the mutual funds, pension funds, hedge funds, when they're going in to buy something, are they going to buy the growth leader or are they going to buy the growth laggard, you know? And that number represents what you just said, the immediacy of their growth. And so that's what it's represented to me. Here's Pins. And so Pins is, and Don, maybe you could pull up the same 6 months, please. Pins, Snap, and Facebook. And so we'll do Pins here. So here's Pins. I wish I would have thought of that idea with a couple of these other ones. So Pins is plus earnings per share percent change. Pins is 1,200%. And then Don is the one, like, Snap wasn't showing up for me. And then Don did this whole dissertation on Snap. And I'm like, man, I got to get some Snap. And when Snap consolidated, snapped it up, for lack of a better phrase, 125%. And let me put that chart in for you. Apologies for not doing so. So here's Pins. Here's Snaparoo. And just look at Snap here. And then so then take a look at something like Facebook. And then Facebook, Facebook's earnings per share percent change last quarter? It is 13%. Don, what are those 6 months measurements? 6 month measurements, please.
Yeah, Facebook 19.6%, Snapchat 122%, Pinterest up 215%.
And those numbers, that I'm telling you, when you take all the other metrics that we're looking at, like, and there's a, I mean, there's like, I don't know how many pieces of fundamental information you can look at in a stock. I really should. Like, it's got to be in the hundreds. Did Don or Danny, do you have a guess? Like, I'm not being facetious when I ask that question. Like all the numbers you can look at, you know, of course you got all the growth metrics. You got, I mean, there's got to be hundreds of numbers, right?
But by the, when that comes out, that big jump like that, and it's ironic that you brought up these three stocks right here, because what happened this year with Pins and Snap is what happened with Facebook in July 2013. They had that big.
Let me get this chart. Let me get a Facebook chart up from 2013.
They had a big earnings announcement where they blew their numbers out of the water. They announced that they were profitable on mobile for the first time. And people, hedge funds, pension funds, mutual funds were in the growth arena, were just tripping all over themselves to buy that. And that's exactly what happened with Snap and Pins on their quarterly earnings reports this year. Exact same thing. And, you know, to serve as a comparison for Facebook, basically it gaps up and it doesn't look back. And that's what happened with these two stocks right now.
Yeah, and so I'll show. Let's pull up Snap, and so that number when it comes out, it's backward looking by a quarter, but you're early enough into it. So Don just talked about the 6 month performance of those stocks, and then if you think about the market we've been in for the last 6 months, there have been some sharp pullbacks in the market in the past 6 months. Those stock, Don, how much is the S&P up the last 6 months? I should have. That's a good.
The S&P is up 17.3%.
And then how about the NASDAQ? So someone would say, we'll do an apples to apples comparison. That's the
Qs are up 20.68%. Most of that was in the first 3 months. They basically, or the is in the June, July, August time period, and September. The October, November, December is where we've been basically flat. Yeah.
And so here's the quarter Don's talking about. It's October. Well, is it? It's October, right? Because here's the last earnings quarter.
It's for Snapchat, yeah. It was 3 months prior to that. Actually, they've had two back-to-back gap ups. Pinterest has.
I'm sorry, Snapchat. I'm on Snapchat.
Yeah, Snap was just gapped up on 10/21.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, and so, and then when it pulls back here is where you want to grab it. And so... You, just because, you know, Don will buy the gap up. This is Don's, everyone has a forte, something they're really good at. Don is gaps. And so Don buys the gap. I like to see a stock move up and then either pull back to the 21, or which, by the way, is a consolidation. But Snap's, I got to look down at my notes here. Snap's earnings percent change number was so much better than Facebook's. I mean, 125%. So it gets on your radar. It's like, okay, this is, and then Don did that whole dissertation on Snap. And I'm like, you know what, when it gets back here, let's get some. And so you're not late. The point I'm trying to make is you're not going to be late if a stock with that kind of earnings per share percent change consolidates. And then it's just got to hold the 21. And you know, you've done everything. I was having this discussion with a, with Mark from Buffalo. I was having this discussion on Twitter with him, where I said, if you do everything in your face, you know, put your best foot forward. I don't know why my mind can't find the words. You do everything you can to give yourself the best chance of success. You're buying a leading stock as determined by growth fundamentals, the ones that matter. And there's seven common traits all great leading stocks have. It's called canceling. All great leading stocks have before they make their biggest price moves. You do everything in your favor to find those ideas. Then you can narrow it down to, like, for me, the metric here is earnings per share percent price change last quarter. And then it's like, okay, it pulled back. Well, if you get stopped out of that idea, you get stopped out of that idea. I mean, it's just not the time. But the moves can be absolutely positively tremendous. And so the list again, is that I gave in those two videos. If you want to see the whole list, you know what, I don't need to do it again. If you want to see the list, and I'll keep updating it, it's an ongoing list. It's December 8th. It's this video right here. And it's this video right here. You can go back and watch. And that's at Revere Asset under Daily Market Insight. And then you can add anything you want. If you can screen for it, you can find a Snap or a Pinterest. And I'm quite sure, you know, Don, you know what? You got the 21 over 21. I don't want you to give it away. You're about to do the video tonight. So I was about to ask you for watch list stocks, but let's do this. Anything to add to
that? I'll mention the one that's replacing Corsair was something that I picked up last Friday and talked about it on the video, PD, which hopefully 3 or 6 months from now, we're talking about it as having the move similar to what Snap and Pins just did. Mm-hmm. Not a big earnings jump. They still lose money, but a nice sales acceleration and massive volume gap up on an earnings report, up 762% volume, and they continued higher pager duty. They do signaling of
software-enabled systems.
Software signaling. It's like an early warning system when something is going wrong across your enterprise.
So let's do, so that's PD. So let's do this. Danny, give us the norm. So we'll do Danny with the normal outro. And then we'll get to Hunter's research.
Folks, if you liked what you heard, please tell a friend, tell a neighbor, just send them to revereasset.com. They can hit the subscribe button, sign up for our daily market insight video, along with this podcast, and be delivered right into their inbox. We won't hassle them. We won't reach out to them. We won't bother them in any way. It's up to them to reach out to us if they want to. Also, there's a webinars page that Don does, you know, every month, month and a half, time permitting. He does it Wednesdays at noon Eastern time. And it's a lunch and learn. It's a 1 hour. And he normally picks a topic and goes over it during live market hours, and people can Q&A afterward. And even if you can't make it because you're working, he will send you the recorded podcast when it's done. You can always email any of us with questions, dan@revereasset.com, tim@revereasset, don@revereasset, and hunter@revereasset. Or you can always call us old school at 855-REAL-WEALTH.
Okay. Let's do this, Hunter. What you got, man?
All right, so I've got a couple of sectors and some names that correspond to them. But the first thing I want to talk to you guys about, I know we mentioned it earlier, is this solid state battery. I think Don said Toyota said they're going to manufacture their own. It's a breakthrough. We'll pull up ticker symbol QS. This is a company called QuantumScape. So they manufacture their own solid state batteries as well, and they're partnered with Volkswagen, who is their largest shareholder and partner. But they, first of all, if you look at their chart, they went from about, let's see here, $20. Recent, not too long ago, back in the middle of August, but went from about $20 here on the 24th to over 80 a few days ago. So they had quite a move. But I want to tell you a little bit about what these batteries are, because Toyota called it a breakthrough. The EV market's hot from an investing standpoint. It's revolutionary. It's new. So anyways, let me just kind of tell you a little bit about it. So the normal electric vehicle battery or whatnot is called a lithium ion battery. This is called a solid state lithium metal battery, which is more energy dense. So what energy density translates to is farther range. It as well, you can charge it faster. I think they claim you can charge up to 80% of capacity within 15 minutes, which is a pretty big deal. They claim that it has increased life compared to the commonplace lithium ion battery, and as well as increased safety. It's non-flammable, non-combustible, and allegedly it can help you lower costs. So something to keep an eye on. Toyota, I know that they're moving off the news. QuantumScape has had a hell of a move. They're down they've been down anywhere from 10 to 15% today. But just keep an eye on it. It's a new development in a relatively new space that's gaining a lot of traction.
What's the volume on it, Hunter?
On QS?
Yes.
5,401,000 pretty much.
5 million, okay.
On shares. Okay. I mean, it's...
That's a decent amount of stock, especially for a $67 stock.
Yep.
And it's getting sold today on increased volume, which it's because of the Toyota stuff, I would imagine. So anyways, just something, you know, I do this research. Don will give me stuff he wants me to check out, look into, why is it moving? And he told me to check this one out this morning. So I went to their website, watched some videos, read some articles, and it's pretty cool stuff. And we'll see if it's legit and it's the way of the future, for lack of a better term. But the first thing I want to talk about is I want to bring up TAN, T-A-N, the solar ETF. This one has been a leader in general. They pulled back to the 21 2 days ago, had a nice bounce off of it yesterday, and we're really bouncing nicely today. Kind of pulled back as the market pulled back. I think the TAN ETF was up about 3.5% at one point, over $85. But while TAN pulled back to the 21, as you would expect, there was a good bit of actual underlying names that also were at attractive levels. So I want to show you guys a couple that are in here, and I'll mainly just show you one. When you pull up ENPH, and this is the top holding in the TAN ETF. If it's not the top, it's number two, but it's around 10%, and so is the number one position. This one, for all intents and purposes, has acted like a leader. It was up 8% or more earlier today, now closer to, I guess, around 3.5%. But this one was at a pretty attractive entry point a day or two ago. I'd mentioned it to the guys. We agreed that TAN is probably the safest way to play it, because in this space, you know, ENPH can be the leader for a week or two, and then it's another company. And, you know, so leadership can change, but you don't really feel the effects of that so much if you own the ETF itself. Another one that was having a really nice day, SEDG, S-E-D-G. And that's only that. These are the top two holdings of TAN. SEDG was up nicely too. It looks like they're up more today. Does that say 5.75%?
Yes, sir. It does.
So, you know, maybe these two are the leaders for the time being. They were at relatively attractive entry points. They consolidated close to the 21. And then outside of solar, just a kind of an ancillary name, is a company called TPIC. They're actually at a decent entry point here. Don't have a massive amount of volume. They're very close to what we look for as kind of the minimum threshold, but just a kind of a different angle on renewable energy and alternative energy and that kind of stuff that we haven't really talked about before. This company makes the wind blades. They manufacture composite wind blades for the wind energy market, supporting global wind turbine manufacturers. So they make the wind blades for those big old wind towers out there. And they've had a pretty good year. Not at a bad entry point right here. They're right on the 21. So just kind of something different I wanted to bring up. And then lastly, I'm going to go through these pretty quick, Tim, as well.
Sure.
So real estate development ops. I know, and you actually touched on Z already. I was going to actually bring them up. But pull up EXPI. It's a cloud-based real estate brokerage firm. They're actually breaking out today. Above a previous high. I think last time I checked, they were up about 8%. Now they're up about 6%. But their RS line is hitting a new high today, along with price. So there's some merit to it. Pay attention to it. We'll see what happens here. But EXPI and Z were really the ones I wanted to show you. There is another one. It's a China company. And I don't think we can pull it up. It's BEKE. It's kind of like China's version of Zillow or Redfin, but they just really, it just doesn't look as good. And the relative strength confirms it. It doesn't look great compared to Z and Redfin and EXPI. It's a laggard. The 21's below the 50. It's down today. So anyways, the main one was EXPI and Z. Both of those are showing some strength over the last week or two. And last, kind of a weird one, medical outpatient and home care. Will you pull up ACHC, please?
Got it.
This is Acadia Healthcare. Mm-hmm. Had a really nice move going back to the beginning of the month, beginning of November. Pulled back to the 21 right here on the 8th, and then have bounced off of it nicely, basically pulled back to around 43, 44 and bounced up to 46, 47. But just as one that came up when I was going through the sector data or the industry group data, that this group was making a really strong move. Another one to look at in here is AMED, Amedisys, I think I'm saying that right, provides home nursing services through 321 home health care centers and whatnot, but they're all a nice move. Not to the extent that the other one is, Acadia, but, and I do, let me make sure I got this right. Yeah, this is the interesting thing about Acadia, and I think maybe this trend will continue to take hold as time goes on, but they're leading in this group. But they provide psychiatric services for behavioral health disorders through 224 treatment facilities. So I think mental health is something to keep an eye on. I know I talked about Compass Pathways not long ago with you know, psychedelic treatment through the main ingredient in mushrooms. But
what was that ticker symbol?
CMPS is there, and they're a recent IPO. They don't look, I mean, from a technical standpoint, they look okay, but they have no sales. And Don has referenced that a number of times. They have no sales. They're more of an idea than a company right now. But it's interesting. You know, I mean, we'll see if it takes hold. If it's
a better chart than Nikola.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
More,
there's not
more of an idea than a sales company.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it's interesting, though.
I think it's interesting, too. I think that's where they're going. A lot of that, they treat a lot of PTSD is one of the big ones that can be treated with this therapy. So illegal, though, in the United States. So.
It is, yeah. And I think CMPS is based out of the UK, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go.
But that's so, pretty much, that's it. I'll just give you two comments to leave you with here. And me and Don talked about it a little bit. We're not going to show them today, but energy coal, so the coal group and tobacco have had nice moves, and it looks to be a flow into safer, more defensive names that, you know, might have dividends. So I was going through the data, and I was like, these groups have had, you know, strong moves, but I mean, they're garbage for the most part. So just kind of a weird anomaly that maybe you wouldn't think or expect, but Don was under the impression that that's most likely money flowing to more defensive, safer names. So that's all I've got. I know it's kind of a lot today, but
all right.
There's some good stuff in there. So
Don, any save rounds or alibis?
Zero. Nope.
Zero.
Nothing.
All right,
I got nothing.
We'll talk to you next week on Your Money.